CliffCentral.com.
All right, happy Friday, the 18th of October here on the Gareth Cliff Show with me, Ben Karpinski, and Gugu's across from me.
Where, Ben?
Damn it, why did I turn your mic down?
You don't even have me on.
You're on. Yeah, so we're here. Gareth and Sierra will be back next week. They're having their last, or they had their last day yesterday in New York, so they'll be flying today. So if you are one of those people who like to pray to people, then pray to the flying Jesus. So Gareth and Sia return home.
It's Friday, Ben.
Thank you, flying Jesus. I just said that.
Yeah, but you don't sound excited about it.
I'm fully into it.
Oh, okay. I'll give you time.
Show's a marathon, not a sprint. So Gareth sent a voice note. Sorry, Google. That's just for me the tone I use when I try to put a different cord into my phone.
Uh-huh.
So... okay, so this is our dear leader, Gareth Cliff. If you were wondering where he is, it's nice to get an update from him.
Hey, Ben, and hey, everybody.
Oh, that's yesterday.
All right, Ben, Gugu, Leanne, everybody else. It's the end of the NAB show in New York. We just attended a really interesting talk on podcasting. As I said to you yesterday, some interesting meetings too, but plenty of fun experiences as well. Sia has had the greatest time. He's going to get on the Staten Island ferry tonight, which apparently runs 24 hours a day, and it has been windy as all hell today, so it was fucking unpleasant, but met some really cool people, including the people who do some of the podcasts I've been listening to for years, Stuff You Missed in History Class, the host of that, Holly. I met the guy who heads up iHeartMedia here in New York. Well, he's based in LA, but he was here for the show as well. And some other people we'll probably be collaborating with in some short space of time, so stick around for that and plenty more interesting info. And I'm glad Sia got a chance to check in with you, even though I didn't. I will try my best to make it through the evening and join you later. Otherwise, if I don't, let this voice note suffice until I'm back on Tuesday.
An absolute lie. Of course, not going to join us later.
Well, thank you, Gareth.
Thanks, Gareth.
Nice. Thanks for that.
All right, there's another one.
Oh, before I forget, I was walking down 9th Avenue today behind a family of mongoloids. It was the most entertaining thing I've ever seen, and I'm going to post the video later on my Instagram. But the woman was tiny and misshapen, and she looked like she had one of those...
Okay. I think Hillary Clinton's had enough abuse in her life, Gareth. Who else is here today? It is Dave. Dave, are you going to sit down?
Yes.
You come late, stand around looking like a lurker. Are you going to sit down?
It's a good time to arrive when you're the guest.
You're
downgraded.
I guess when the show starts is always a great indication of winter wrap.
You know, it's weird. I think I was here for several years. I have no idea when the show starts.
Dave, are you having a stroke?
No, I'm finding a hole for my thing.
Okay, very good.
So Dave, that's my volume. What are you doing?
Thanks, man. Thanks. There
Dave
we go.
Levinson.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave. Nice to meet you.
What's your name?
Gugu.
Gugu with the... How's it, Dave?
You guys really never met before?
No. I haven't been here since October last year.
I was looking at him through the glass there and started eyeing you, being like, who is that guy and what's he doing in here?
Oh, I thought it was your idea. So.
That's average for everyone who sees me. So
all right, Dave, but you're right otherwise?
Yes, you know what?
You don't seem to age.
It hasn't been a good
You don't seem to age. I think you went to like... looking 45 very quickly in your life, and then you plateaued.
It's plateaued.
Which is a thing in itself, Dave.
How you been? You just don't get any handsomer. I think you've plateaued.
Yeah, I know. Fair point. I think I've regressed, but well pointed out.
So, happy Friday, man. What's happening? What do we do on this thing? What is this? Why are you here? Let's be honest. Let's catch everyone up.
Gareth and Sierra are in New York. Everyone knows this. It's just you. So
everyone knows this.
Yeah, it's just you. It's a bit awkward.
You know what happened? I think I stopped getting my alerts from Sierra. Because he did send me a message saying, are you awake? So I'm like, why is he awake at 8:30 in New York?
Okay.
Unless they're just jawling.
Yeah, well, I think he's...
It's the last night, yeah.
Really? What is their purpose for being in New York? Just fill me in case there is someone who's just...
Dave, I tell you what.
Not Cliff Central.
Everyone knows answer these questions. So if I just talk to you, it's like me just talking to you.
Isn't that what a podcast is?
No.
I mean, I'll be the average 50-year-old listening.
So if you did forget who Dave was,
Ben, you decide. Is, was.
Yeah, but in the context of where we are now, because you just said you're not on the show anymore. So okay. Dave used to have a comedy show here called the Just Now podcast. Dave tried so hard to just call it the Dave Brew Show because he was looking for free advertising, but that was vetoed very quickly. So Dave used to be on here with a whole host of comedians. Are you still in touch with all those comedians?
Just give me some sort of hope that someone gave it a thought and said, mate, and then no. Not immediately. At least they discussed it at one of the agendas that happened.
No, that was Friday. Are you still comedianing?
Not really, hey. There hasn't been much comedianing happening in 2019. I think leaving this show was a precursor last year to one of the cuckest years in history in comedy, except for maybe Jason Goliath. The rest of us just struggled.
Sure. But is it like a recession in comedy right now?
Benjamin Button.
But is it like a comedy recession out there?
I would say so.
Is that due to the economy or the fact that everyone's just offended every time anyone says anything nowadays?
It's literally a mixture of both of what you just said. I think clients are scared to have comedians on stage at functions.
That is so incredibly sad.
And I think the other half is a lot of young guys call themselves comedians and then they move up very quickly and then just don't have the level of that corporate type of stuff.
Right.
Because I think in South Africa, we survive on corporate comedy and one-man shows.
Yeah.
So either they race too quickly to the one-man show or they race too quickly to the corporate level. And I literally got a phone call yesterday at Hop Past 6 last night saying, can you come to Durban? We've had comedians the last 3 years and we've decided never again. So you're the last resort. If you mess us up, we're not having comedians ever again. So it's kind of one of those award evening functions for a group of people.
Dave, what are you doing there, by the way? Sorry.
You're distracting me. I'm very OCD, buddy.
I can see that.
I cannot have a cable that is wonky like this and expect to have a good Friday.
All right, Dave, you just put that under the table and
put that under the table and forget about it. You sound like a bishop's teacher.
Yeah, it's a massive shame. Oh, we'll get to that story in a bit, actually. It's a massive shame that, like, so when you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, obviously he bases podcast around the MMA and comedy, like his two special loves and stuff.
And I would say he's even gone more to that side, which is the MMA side. Let's call it the most popular podcast in history.
Yeah.
He's also noticed a change in the comedy movement, the offensive comedy.
But he has such incredible guests. Because it's America and the diversity and the fact that they've been established for so long, you know, these guys are big names and they're career comedians. You know, they don't have to go and like do a gig for Walmart to eat. You know, they can still gig and they can still go on tours. They get Netflix specials.
How do you get that Walmart gig? Just asking for a friend.
It's just so interesting to listen to how the guys are talking about the evolution of comedy and like what Dave touched upon now, that people are just so scared to be offended. But as the Dave Chappelle special on Netflix recently, guys like him have always been groundbreaking for various reasons, because the guy sees the importance of the industry. Obviously, he's just supremely talented, so he is better than the most of them. But he just said, like, this is a time more than ever that comedians have just got to find their balls and they've really got to keep pushing on, because it has got to the stage. People are just strangling humor out of life. And the only people, Dave, just like you, the only person that can save this gig in Durban, the only people that can actually take us forward are comedians. Yeah. Or, you know,
the
shows one,
the
like
comedian
this,
who gets this right, gets the mixed right, and says, here's my stuff, and does it with enough charm and enough experience, will win in this country. There are other factors as well. Obviously, there's been budget cuts in every company. So to be seen to be having a function, and what is a comedian's fee, a young comedian, or even an established comedian? It starts at like 20
you
to
tell
30
me, Dave.
Grand.
I'll tell you. 20 to 30 grand. Okay.
So that is for an entry fee starting point, and then it can go from there. There are still established comedians who only charge a decent fee. A lot of people think someone like Barry Hilton charges 90,000 rand for a gig. It's not true. He's kept his level almost the same for the last 10 years, but then people will always say, oh, he must charge millions. He doesn't. He charges the average rate for corporates, but he's busy.
Yeah.
So I always say I'd rather have 10 gigs at 20 grand than one at 50. Because no client's going to hire you for 50 anymore, I don't think.
No, it's true. Unless it's like a year-end function and it's like a big
company.
Yeah,
and they very, very, very want Luis Segola for their function.
Yeah,
and that's
very
the fee.
Particular.
But a lot of the time, I know for a fact that I'm not on the top of the list. It's literally someone's not available.
Mm.
So I'll go
in. Oh, Dave, come on in.
Mark Lotchen wasn't available. John Flismas doesn't do comedy anymore. Kurtz in Cape Town, whoever, and then eventually I don't mind being fifth on the list.
I mean, like, okay, I don't mean to sound crass with this, but Barry Hilton aside, who's the big white comedian nowadays?
That's a very good question.
I know, that's what I'm asking.
Because there's
good questions.
So,
because we're talking about shrinking markets. I mean, let's be honest, you're an old white guy.
There we
older
go.
White guy.
There we go, that's exactly. And so, there was a guy called Sivan Gesi, I'm sure he's been on the show before.
Not black. White.
Not white, but he said to me, he said, Dave, you don't hustle. Isn't he white?
Maybe he sounds white, Dave, but no,
Rondebosch boys. So if I speak to him, he goes, you don't hustle enough. You're not seen out there. And I just said to him, look, you know what? 50-year-old white guy, there isn't a thing that you're going to go, hey, I'm hustling. I don't think you hustle when you're 50. I think you just shuffle. But just I just said to him, along. I said, there's no hustling that I can do now that's going to be different to what I did when I was 20. The environment is different.
You're just less handsome now.
Let me think. No, I don't grow old. I'm using teeth. So hang on, I've got to think about this. Who's the top?
You sound like an old horse.
Earned white.
Yeah, but it's a tough question because that is what's also happening. Like, if you're going to take the plunge, I'm not trying to start a race debate here, but if you're going to take the plunge and spend big money on a comedian, you're going to have to of a certain sort of profile.
And you're going to look at your profile of your company.
But at the same time, most of our really fantastic comedians in this country just aren't white either.
There you go.
There's also that.
But that wasn't the case 20 years ago when I started.
No, of course not. But like,
it's been a drive, and it's been, I think one of the things comedy's done is it's been integrated from the beginning.
Yeah.
There was never, you know what your entry is, so
which is another reason why it's an industry that needs to be really pushed, because it is great, wonderfully integrated.
Exactly. One of the things, Solly Philander won the Comics Choice, what do they call it? The Old Person's Comedy Award.
Yeah. So is that what you're gunning for
I'm
now?
Sure I'm sure there's a name for it. Mm. But he just said, from the beginning, he was never ever told he was a colored comedian. He was never told he was an actor or anything of color. If the entry was, if you're funny, which is great. So there's not
it's
many
a very
industries
merit,
like
merit based industry, which is exactly what we should all be striving towards.
That's it.
So good on you, comedy, and
thank you.
And corporates, book more comedians. Dave's losing teeth here.
There's nothing wrong with it. Here's the other thing: if you do an accent, which this Kevin Fraser chop does, he fills arenas when he comes to South Africa.
Well, work on your accents, Dave.
Oh, exactly. I am. I'm doing a Ben Kopinski.
Yeah, you're not going to get very far with that accent. So you did mention the Bishop's Teach. Obviously, this week has been, WhatsApps have been inundated with images and videos of the water polo coach from Bishop's. It's quite funny. I went to this water polo function on Wednesday night, actually, for St. Cithians. And I was just thinking, the MC has got comedy gold here if he gets it right.
Did he do it?
Didn't try anything. Obviously, it's like
it's a minefield. Yeah, if you're gonna do it, it has to be done in that Dave Chappelle type of stuff.
Yeah, but like it's a school function. I don't think someone's dad was the MC. But
it was weird because Catherine did a charity function, a friend of mine, and she said I invited Nicholas Goliath because she said I knew you would do something weird because it was a Parktown Boys fundraiser.
Oh,
she just said, Dave Levinson, I want another comedian, please. Because she knew I would mention something. I said, I'm not that crass. I wouldn't do it in a weird style. But you know what happened to Parktown Boys, obviously.
We do, Dave, yes.
Okay, so
I was
just told no.
If you didn't know, so Parktown Boys had the opposite. There was a, which is just not cool. Well, essentially, one of the young male teachers was sexually abusing the young boys. But I mean, that was actually criminal. There were really young kids, and it was hugely scarring. Bishop's.
It is scarring.
Bishop's, a young female teacher, was sexualizing
predator.
Well, I mean, look, the thing is, like no crime has been committed here at Bishop's, right? These kids, they were all of consenting sexual age, essentially. And now I'm using way too many words here, but essentially she wasn't committing a crime. She was just sexing a lot,
having sex.
I mean, this is just a misunderstood young woman who just really, really loved young cock. But like, really, I mean, there's no other way to really break it down. Parktown Boys, there was a sexual predator ruining the lives of young men. So Dave couldn't MC that gig because he would have made an offside joke about that guy.
I don't think I'm doing any Bishop's fundraising gigs. They don't need the funds.
Yeah, but just imagine. Okay, so
it's not the first time in history that a teacher and a pupil have been attracted to each other.
No, of course not.
It's a slow news day.
So I was at this water polo function, and they were talking about water polo. And I was thinking, how is Bishop's going to have a similar kind of event this year? Like, how? Because they'll try to put in a brave face, but all the kids have got all those images on their phone, which, again...
So who are they
like,
hiring? Civ used to play water polo.
Imagine Civ emceeing. I would fly down to see the opening of that event. Civ will drop something hilarious.
I'm not happy with the memes in terms of her privacy. I think, as you say, she's a young teacher,
23.
She's 30. Yeah. She's 30. That's good. I don't like the fact. It's like, what has it got to do with Nick Mallett? I mean, I have a nephew in Australia. I don't really care who he sects.
Exactly.
In fact, he broke his wrist, and I phoned my sister and said, "Is it his you know, he's 15. Is it his working hand? So he says, no, he's right-handed. I says, whew, poor kid. But that's as much as I get involved in terms of my nephew. So, yeah, what's Nick Mallett? He's not going to phone her and go, hey, man, I don't know, I'm trying to do a Nick Mallett accent. Just stay out of her. Don't swim with the boys. Just swim by yourself.
Yeah, David, you should stay with Max and Sol together.
Did she? But did she swim with them? I mean, that's a keen coach.
I don't think she swam with them.
If you can catch me, you can be in the first team. That is incentive based coaching, which is what Rusty's doing.
All right, Dave. So the school is proceeding with widespread investigations understood to involve interviewing more than 40 pupils. Now, the rumors are going around that she nabbed 47 of them, which I just think that's a made-up thing. People are trying to sensationalize this.
My record at school was 2.
Because then it'll become known as the Bishop's 47. You know, because everyone loves to have titles and things. So
what was your record at school? How many did you do? I mean, I think I did the math teacher and maybe the Afrikaans
0.
Teacher.
I was a
and
very...
And he was a nice guy. Yeah. I think he was...
Dave... Grace, but like, if you really want to just like
trauma,
exactly. If you really want to just cut through all the gossip, all the kind of stuff, she hasn't committed a crime, so she's not a criminal. She's just
is that
really,
for sure. Is that not a U magazine kind of lawyer based thing?
She's just really bad at her job, to be honest, because she was hired by bishops to basically teach kids how to do water polo. Not to break them in. So her
do
only
you watch
crime.
Family Guy?
Her only crime is that she's just bad at her job, a job she no longer has. So I don't think we can be malicious, and we should just keep that in perspective.
When did this take place?
This year, last year.
I tell you what, like all the boys knew, the school knew. Sunday Times found out long after the boys did.
Exactly, but some guy ruined it for everybody. That's
yeah, some idiot ruined it for everybody.
Some guy ruined it for
everybody. Stupid ass, whoever you are.
I'm looking at it. Like everyone was like, guys, this is cool. We've got the I'm on Wednesday. You're
we're
on
all
Tuesday.
Eating.
It's always
we're
nice to hear both sides of the story. And she actually came out yesterday and finally has a statement, which is it's nice because then you get a bit of a balance, of course.
Oh, Ben. You're not doing that function.
No, I'd never do any of those functions. So thoughts and prayers with bishops as they get through this tough time.
Isn't it a crime?
This is never going
to
die.
Is it not a crime? Just be honest. Like,
but that's what I wanted to bring out today, is that she hasn't committed a crime. Parktown Boys, crime, that guy's been sentenced. It's a very different thing. Simple as that, really.
Is that because of the consensual age?
Yes.
So the crime would literally be, like, as you said, a job-based... Please don't... When you. Although, you know what? What I asked you about Family Guy is she said to him, you need to hire a secretary. And all his friends said, your secretary's too hot. Stop what you're doing. Like he goes, no, she's fine. She's the qualified person. And all his friends said, you can't do this. So Shirley Bishop should have looked at her and said, you're
way too fine.
Hey, why don't we put you on the water polo team? She should have done maybe the drama or...
Either way, she's got interaction with young boys who are sexually charged.
Like, where does she change at the water polo? At my water polo school, there was one shower, one toilet.
She's a coach. She's not swimming. Stop picturing her in a onesie getting into
the pool. I've got her in the pool there with the guys.
Well, that's where you're wrong.
Like with that hat with the bubbles on the side.
But isn't
hot.
But you do make a good point, though. It's like when you're a really attractive woman, there's certain things that are very difficult to get into. Like if you want to go, if you've got a passion for teaching, but you're like an 11 out of 10, as all these butts keep calling her in these WhatsApp groups.
Yeah.
Like it is what it is. Your job is not going to be very straightforward.
And you're going to make it difficult for the boys.
It's going to be difficult. I mean, again, this isn't her problem, but it's very difficult for the kids to concentrate. It's very difficult for the kids to kind of be kind of act normal. Like, you know, you want to play water polo because you've got a bone of your water polo teacher.
Hormone rushing 15, 16-year-old.
So there's no way there's anything normal about the situation, right? So if you're a school and now it's like, well, we need to hire for these positions. And then you get someone who is just so damn hot comes in.
Fully qualified.
It's like it's discrimination if you don't hire if she's the best for the job. But reality is reality, right? This is a very, very weird thing about us as humans. And this is a horrible problem that we shouldn't have to deal with. But it's here.
How did you get this job, handsome Dan?
How did I get this job? I was just anyone here. Bitty persistence, Dave. Thankfully, my luck
underqualified.
Good looks. Thankfully, good looks never hampered my career. Yeah, so I do feel for this woman. Obviously, she has her own issues and that kind of stuff. And, I mean, feel for her husband because this guy... You know.
What? She's married.
Well, yeah, she's married.
I see, both of us went hello.
Exactly. Yeah. The thing is, like, so this guy obviously
so imagine how
will
he
always
feels,
be
man.
Known as the guy who married the woman who just really
loved. I think he's going to be known as the guy who recently divorced the girl from the school.
Yeah, but I mean, also Cape Town is a small fishing village. Ultimately, I mean, I know it's
tripping. Have you been there?
I know people always say it's the best place to live in. Sure, but it's a very small place. I mean, if you go to Bishop's, especially, it's like traditional boys' schools. These cliques are like really, really cliquey. So this dude, I mean,
but that goes way back. If you're going for a job interview and you sit next to Bishop's boy and the person interviewing you went to Bishop's, you can just rather leave the interview.
Got it.
I'm just glad that there's no more Harry and Meghan on the cover of You magazine.
Well, who's going to be on?
You know, it'll be her.
It won't be her.
Please let it be her at least. Just at least pretty. Take those two idiots off the magazine. I am a religious You magazine reader when I go to the doctor's office.
Why do you touch those magazines? They're full of
Is
germs.
That where you get the germs? Do you believe the same thing as I do?
Well, everyone that goes
That's how you keep your customers coming back.
Yeah.
Read the magazines, folks.
Everyone goes to doctors
full
because
of TB.
Exactly.
Mm. No, I don't
read
really
this article and get hepatitis. But like those videos have spread and they've gone to.
I don't like the memes. I think they were low quality. In terms of any story that's, it was a nice little break from the shit that happened with the Joss rapist and that sort of thing. It's in the same vein though. It's like kind of like in the same column.
Look, either way, I think this country has some issues with our sexuality and a lot of things in the execution of which. But now her
this
videos.
This is a sex show on Fridays.
Her videos have now gotten to Pornhub and. Because think about Pornhub and all these other places.
No, don't mess around, Ben.
Yeah, so one of the videos on Pornhub, so she's got one of the top...
I'm going to Google that right now.
She's got one of the top defense lawyers, William Booth.
Give me a second, Ben.
And so basically...
So he'll be now dealing with a major issue in terms of... Because there's money involved in Pornhub.
Well, not really, because anyone could upload to Pornhub. So you can...
They didn't accept any of my stuff.
So
what's her name, Ben?
You can create a profile. It's... Do you not have friends that send you these videos?
No, unfortunately.
So her videos are now on Pornhub because you can have a profile and you can upload whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
So now they're getting pulled down. But as they get pulled down, someone else just uploads it.
Gets
because
pulled off.
These videos have been circulated literally around the world. So we've got users from America uploading the stuff, users from Europe uploading the stuff. The videos are worldwide. And I think that's also a little bit unfair.
That's what I don't think, yeah. Because as soon as you do something in this country, you become a meme. But the meme creators are 12 and 15. So the jokes are kind of like, let's call them childish, like straight up. Then now she's worldwide. It's just, I think it's too much for her. I don't think she's going to cope.
Yeah. Fuck you, Ben. I believe my neighbors heard that. I was about to compliment your punctuality performance this week, but none of that anymore. Yeah, it's so funny.
You compliment on punctuality. I was here at 6:05.
It is so funny that whole moaning clip goes on to everything nowadays. Everything. So, sorry, but I mean, it's not the first time someone sent you one of those and you've opened it up. Yeah.
As soon as, it depends where it comes from. That spider climbing out the cup, it's got me. I freaked out completely. I think I threw my phone across the room. Not a spider fan.
It's been incredible having you back, Ben. Jeez, messages are good today. I love your mind. Please come back soon and keep your chin up. Let the old cliche about time prevailing and you will soon be able to put your heart back in your chest. I'm sure the Cliff Central peeps will join me in supporting you as you do. Kerry from Belito.
You have a nice chin.
Thanks, Kerry. I think my heart's kind of in my chest, but the hearts move around and I think I'm going to be okay. But thank you. It's a lovely message. Lovely way to start your Friday. Michelle says, what a favorite show. Dave, welcome back. Ben, this week's been great. I've missed this combo from Michelle.
Michelle runs, I think, the...
Aquarium.
Aquarium, yeah.
She is the aquarium.
She is the aquarium.
It's the Cape Town Michelle Aquarium.
She started the straw movement.
The principal from Bishop's has rubbish claims that the teacher boinked over 40 boys. He says they're only about 20...
Ben, exactly.
Pretty straight.
You know that one is enough. Like, just one. And it doesn't have to be 20 or 12 or 16.
There have been some good jokes so far.
I think it's not fair on her. You can make jokes about Madonna or something.
Should we try a voice clip?
It's going to be that shout again.
It'll be that scream again. It's just good. Ben, the Big Easy turns 50 this year. What have you done with your life?
That's quite harsh because the guy's a professional golfer with his own jet. And we've got our own podcast.
I've done stuff.
Where's Ernie's podcast?
Back off, yo. Where's Ernie's ability to host the show in the morning?
Today's show is about our CVs. Let's brag. Ernie's 50, so let's call that, in the golfing terms, he's the Trevor Noah of golf in South Africa.
Sure.
Let's call it that. Best ever from this country. Mm-hmm. And Gary Player, maybe.
Gary Player's the David Chappelle.
And I thought you were going to say Dan Nicol.
Gary Player's the greatest. So it would be Dave Chappelle, okay. And then Ernie would be the Trevor Noah.
Okay, cool, I've got you. So Gary was the first, he was there. So then what have you done? What have you been doing? Because you left here. And Dave, under your
again,
own...
you can't come here on Friday after everyone's spoken about this.
Oh, really?
If you were to be on the show...
It's called catch-up. It's called catch-up.
Yeah, but everyone knows, on DSTV. But everyone knows all this stuff, Dave. If you don't have the effort to like listen to the show, it's just like, okay, well, let's repeat everything.
It's not the everything. Effort. It's the dot.
Let's just repeat everything that's been heard.
Actually, yeah, I'm going to go online now and just check what you've been doing.
Yeah, just go just, check. I think it's Monday's...
keep your chin up, Dave.
Just get the free Wi-Fi. Then.
Monday's so,
is Leanne dead? Is she not here?
I don't know. I mean,
I've noticed in this conversation she's not here.
Yeah.
I would like a woman's opinion on all the stuff we've been talking about.
Dave, you know what?
Do you want to go find her for us, Dave?
Dave, Monday to Thursday, woman's opinion has happened.
Oh, really?
This, yeah.
Where's Leanne on Fridays? Why's your wallet's a fact?
She's meant to be here.
She's meant to be here. So it's the usual Friday, as you would have. We've got the five things you need to know coming up, and then we've got the... got the Auto Central Power Pod with George Means. George will be in just before 8 as well. And then Chantal Lascaris will be coming in now. This interview, she won't be coming in today. This interview originally aired back in 2017. And Chantal, she's a big food person. And she is someone who's just one of those people who's translated their passion into something that they can share with everybody, just like we do for bad jokes and memes. And she'll be coming. Well, this interview was about food tips stemming from her love for Mediterranean foods. So her latest book back then was All Sorts of Healthy Dishes, and it shows the simplicity of eating well and how South Africans should not struggle finding the ingredients to create some wonderful dishes. And it's the perfect foodie podcast for the summer ahead, because now we are getting into better shape and we've got more time in the day because there's more sunlight and we just feel a bit more passion for life, so we can eat better, Gugu. And this with Chantal
is going to inspire
you. Why, do you only eat Roman's pizzas?
I eat a lot of shit. I actually went for a health assessment yesterday, and I thought I was like dying.
And the woman said, why are you eating Roman's pizzas?
And how old are you, Gugu? 26.
Health assessment.
And he said to me, dude, you're like the epitome of health. I was like, what? I walked out of there with a spring on my step.
So what, you went to like a spa and the cashier for an assessment? But you know, Gugu, like jokes aside, like obviously as you get older, and Dave might back me up with this if he ever has attention span of more than 3 seconds, is that you should look after your health sooner rather than later, because it's exactly like investing. It's like, I'll save money one day. But no, if you save now and if you do things now, it incrementally works later.
Yeah, they did
at a greater proportion.
If I keep on going, it's fine now because of the age, but if I do continue this way, it will catch up with me.
Well, do you drink?
Barely, but I don't eat healthy. I don't eat vegetables.
So there's no smoking?
No smoking.
Okay, so there's two ticks.
Well, those are two good things.
That's vitality. That's a 4,000 points on vitality.
Vitality, right?
That already makes you a niche at your age.
A niche.
Oh, jeez. Now, the thing is, like, as soon as you bring up this whole water polo thing up, you are now sending us photos, memes, videos.
See, this is what I don't think is fair on her, because you would hate to be that person right now. Being judged and sentenced by us, the magazine lawyers.
And again, that video was not intended for you, so you could have the rights to...
It wasn't. You're not sexy. You don't look good in a speedo.
It's murky.
Whatever you do, man.
But ladies, at the same time, and I say this, I mean, every guy wants to receive nudes and saucy things, but you got to understand that most guys are going to be dicks and share that with other people. And I know I'm maybe outing the guy club here, but it's a fact of life. So you've really got to trust whoever you're sending these nudes to.
You've got to be dating that person, Ben. You can't just be sending nudes.
It can't just be a second break kind of vibe.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So you can't be too naive towards. She's sending nudes to school kids, right? What do school kids do? They're on their phones all day.
And they have a network that is faster than anything. Any corporate network.
Exactly.
School networks way
quicker. Those videos were shared no matter what. And obviously the guy would be like, no, I'll never send them. Meanwhile, look at this guy.
Well, I won't, but the other 42 will.
So you've also got to... Maybe she just wanted the attention. Who knows? All it is like, I
don't want to be her.
I just think her privacy should be respected in some sort of way. And again, the reason I brought this up was because she hasn't actually committed a crime. But we need to get into the five things you need to know, because there are other stories in this world.
Thank you.
Other than young teachers nobbing...
I didn't find her on Pornhub, by the way. I'm just saying.
You did?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the stuff gets taken down.
Damn it.
Give it a couple of hours.
Gets taken down.
Or just get friends.
Or just get friends, yeah.
So, story number one. Good story. Stage one load shedding for Friday. No weekend power cuts. So we can all watch rugby. I think Eskom would have been burnt down if that was the case. Eskom board chairperson Jabu Mabuza said that the power utility would implement stage one load shedding on Friday and did not foresee the need for further power cuts thereafter. Labuza was briefing the media on Thursday night on the state of the power utility after implemented load shedding on Wednesday due to faulty generating units, piss poor maintenance, and just basically Eskom being Eskom, I guess.
Are you still quoting the guy? Is that you talking now?
That's me talking, okay. Dev. Friday's load shedding will be implemented from 9 a.m. and will end at 11 p.m. And if you do not know what that is, where it is, the Eskom does have an app which tells you exactly if you're being load shat on. The acting CEO apologized for the power cuts. Oh, that's nice. And for not giving South Africans better warning, because essentially it was just, we were load shat on. It wasn't like, okay, guys, so next week we're going to do some load shatting.
It was a conveyor belt.
Yeah. Mabuza said the Eskom had no choice but to implement the rolling blackouts, even though they did not foresee it happening. He said that the cuts were needed to avoid a collapse of the power grid. Yeah, I mean, look, all necessary things, but like baby steps. All these things in SA, baby steps. We haven't had a power cut for quite a while. You never ever want to endorse, say nice things about Eskom and any of these SEOs, because they're just a bunch of shitbags. But at least they are getting better, and this is unfortunate. It's an unfortunate week for Eskom. Unfortunately, this is Mabuza's last thing I will quote him on, this is what has now materialized in the last few days. Against high levels of consumption, we experienced high levels of unplanned breakdowns that exceeded the 10,500 megawatt limit and resulted in excessive utilization of our emergency water and diesel reserves. Now, that last sentence is what really disturbs me. Mm-hmm. They've got diesel, right?
Mm-hmm.
How expensive diesel, Google?
More than petrol?
17 rand.
A litre.
Yeah, a litre.
They get it cheaper.
Yeah, sure, they get it cheaper. But they've got to run the country on
off the stuff.
I mean, firstly, what that's doing for the environment.
So if you drive past Eskom and you hear that noise, you know it's coming.
Imagine this entire country is basically running like a glorified tractor.
You know what's weird is that my life is so sad at the moment. I didn't know there was load shedding until about 4 hours in. Because I had nothing on in my house. There was no need. I was just sitting there in a puddle of tears. And then I could tell it was load shedding because down the road you could kind of hear the whole day.
All your prosperous neighbors with generators.
Exactly.
Shame, Dave. That's
it's a really sad gated story, community.
COJ confirms the city of Johannesburg.
COJ,
of course,
a band. Acronym, it's not a band.
They confirm the M2 highway to reopen end of October as planned. So we know there was that.
It's about damn time.
Well, you know, most of the bridges in SA and built up areas, they're fucked because, again, poor maintenance. And bridges, unlike plants, they also need to be maintained. You just build a bridge and go, there's an eternity
get
bridge.
Get over it. Live on, boy.
Because cars go on that bridge. So it's wear and tear. Everything gets wear and tear.
So they figured that those are structurally unsound.
Yeah, Dave, there was lots, actually. Herman Mashaba put on his high visibility vest, and he went out and basically said, like, there's 114.
He owns his own one.
Yeah, he does.
Mine's in my car. I never use it.
He I think
Cliff Central Yellow.
There was about 114, 100, like, there was more than 100 bridges.
How do you
do
that? Do you tap it? I want to know, like, you seem to, I'm not allowed to ask questions about the past, I'll ask questions about the present.
Dave, I think a lot of these bridges, you can go up to them, and if you can throw a Coke can into the crack, then it was seen. I think that,
you need
that
to
was...
You've got, like, T-shirt mouth. Everything you're saying today could easily be a meme or a T-shirt.
That was the COJ's plan. If we could throw a Coke can in the crack, then we got issues.
That's scary, though, because we just drive across them thinking nothing's wrong, and then that one on the N3 collapsed about 3 years ago.
Okay. The city started the emergency project last August, so it really has been a long time. People have been detouring away, saying the structure failed integrity tests and was a major risk. 160 million rand was budgeted for the project, and it was unclear how much of that the city actually spent.
What does a political person know about integrity when it comes to a bridge?
Well, not a lot. I'm sure they'll actually get engineers in for this one, Dave.
Okay.
The closure of the M2 highway had major effects on Joburg traffic and caused peak hour congestion in both the M1 South and M1 North. So if you don't live in Johannesburg, if you're commuting on those roads every single day, it is a clusterfuck to start with. Now you've taken away the major artery for all of these things. You can imagine how people's lives have been dreadful.
No, but it helps those markets, because when you go through the bottom of town there, there's incredible things you don't get to see. So it's actually...
Now you get to see them, right?
Did you ever see cars?
Yes.
So they shut down Route 66.
And then it killed the town.
It killed the town of whatever it was called. Car town.
It's a fair point, Dave.
So now you go through, if you've ever been on the N2, you cut through town. It's like there's a Muti shop. You can buy every cure for every
witchcraft
disease.
Witchcraft
stuff. I bought a fox pelt, which I think could have been a cat. But I bought it proudly from the traffic light.
What you going to do with that?
I'm going to do some Muti.
Yeah.
That's why the box are going to work.
Be prosperous, you know.
I saw a lot of stuff that you would never see on the N2 going at
120. So due to poor maintenance on the bridges, Dave got rid of his syphilis by putting a fox pelt in his privates.
No, you know, you just rub it.
Yeah.
You grind it into a powder. Jeez, Ben, I'm not an animal.
commuters will be making their way to the east of Joburg had to increase their travel time. So, I mean, this is a good thing. End of October, your lives can become slightly better. Slightly.
Fox pelt.
Fox pelts, also for STDs. Story number three is around 300 learners hospitalized. This is a dreadful story. After allegedly eating sweets from a hawker. Now, a hawker is...
These stories pop up all the time.
But three,
like once a year.
300 learners. So, obviously, hawkers are people who just mostly work in cash. They don't pay a lot of tax. They sell all kinds of shit. Where they get it and where they sell it is never really...
So, what they really do is, have you ever seen... They buy a large sweet, so it's a fizzer, and then they chop it with a pair of scissors, and they wrap it in old wrappers from other... This is the kind of way it works. So, they'll buy a big fizzer, cut it into 18 pieces, and then wrap it into a smaller wrapper from another sweet, literally from the dustbin. So, the wrappers are there, then they'll make little sweets. So, the kids are buying an 18th of a fizzer, but it's been cut with a pair of scissors that was also used to cut the fox pelts. And that's... So, it's not essentially the... A lot of the time, the U magazine or the fearful mothers will say they're trying to poison our kids. But it's actually just the preparation of that sweet because it's been divided. What would you call it?
It's been handled so many times.
And it's commercially, it's commercially chopped. So that's the problem.
It's commercially chopped.
It's the system that they're using. So they're not doing it on purpose. Hawker's not going, I'm going to kill 300 kids, which is what they think it is. It's like, don't eat these sweets.
No, I'd imagine hawkers are trying to make a quick buck. They're not trying to quickly
so
kill a kid.
If they buy a chappie, they cut it in half.
So about 300 pupils from the school, primary school in Stretford in Orange Farm on Thursday are being treated at various health facilities after falling ill. It's understood the kids from Nomini Primary School experienced stomach cramps and vomiting in the afternoon. The pupils apparently felt ill after eating the sweets from the local hawker. Name not known. It's not Dave Levinson.
Andre.
They were rushed to the Stretford Community Health Care Centre while receiving treatment at Chris Harney Barry Gwynedd as well.
I'm very serious about my hawking knowledge.
Gauteng Department of Health spokesperson Kwada Kakana said five learners have since been transferred to Chris Harney Barry Gwynedd Academic Hospital for further treatment. Our school health team has been sent to the school to conduct an investigation, and more information will be shared with the public as it becomes available. But, it's horrible to live in a place where the standard of everything is so low. Like, you know, listeriosis is back as well.
No. When did it come back?
This week,
that's a killer.
Jeez,
that's
stay away from Peroni,
like,
kids.
Apparently, 12 people died from a new strain of listeriosis. Oh, but obviously, like, everyone says, no, it's not a big thing. But if you just want to eat something, or you just want a sweet, kids want sweets, it's fair. Huh. I mean, how else are guys like Dave going to get given in the back of their car? But you'd be able to eat the sweet and enjoy the sweet for what it is. Not then get, like, stomach cramps
and vomiting.
Horrible.
And also, you can't control your kid. If they've got 20 bucks or something, they are going to buy sweets. There's no
exactly.
Sweets. My school doesn't sell sweets.
Sweets or pornography is always going to be the thing. So I know it is the summer, and in Gauteng it's obviously the time for rains, but it doesn't seem to know how to rain anymore, this place. There's a huge
never
heat
got
wave.
Stomach cramps or vomiting from porn.
Thanks, Dave. There's a huge heat wave coming on, which is obviously going to jeopardize the level of the dams. The Department of Water and Sanitation Authority said that the first heat wave of the season will be hitting. Since the closure of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project due to maintenance, it's like the bridges that have got to be maintained, doctors show that dam levels in the province had plunged to the worrying 50% mark.
Plunged.
The department said the lack of sufficient rainfall over the past few months and the high temperatures caused the levels of decline weekly. So if... Don't piss away the water, basically, where the story is going. But I don't need to tell you that.
Does Eskom have more of a problem in summer or winter? There's a question that wasn't on last week's podcast.
I would probably go with winter because of demand for heating.
But we've made it through winter without load shedding.
We have.
So how come in summer, I can understand air conditioning and people possibly doing more things, but they wouldn't require electricity. Like, I lay in my hammock.
No, but it's definitely higher usage in winter.
Yeah. It just seems weird that now in summer you have, by the way, this thing. I think it's something to do with the splitting of people trying to make Eskom into. And remember, Ramaphosa had a 5-point plan where he was going to divide it into five companies.
Three things, yeah.
Three. Was it three?
Dave, it's purely because the things are broken down. No one's trying to mess anything. It's just that they are badly maintained. It really is that
simple.
So it's
not a timing issue with that big meeting coming up?
No. As Canton said yesterday, Don't attribute to malice what can easily be described as incompetence.
Incompetence.
That's
a t-shirt
axiom.
I would buy.
See, lovely.
Don't contribute to malice.
What can be achieved easily through incompetence.
Damn, here endeth the lesson.
Here endeth the lesson.
Ben Kopinski, verse 2, volume 1.
And story number 5 in the 5 things you need to know, Nicholas Nienau showed...
Cut down with furious anger.
Nicholas Nienau showed no genuine remorse for raping a 7-year-old girl. That's what's being said here. That's according to the North Gauteng High Court, who sentenced him to life behind bars for the rape. Now, I know he was all teary and all that kind of stuff, and Leanne would have let him off with like a hug and a roll of sweets.
And a kiss on the forehead and shit.
But he showed no genuine remorse. And a little bit too late with the tears. No one was really buying it either. But now he got life imprisonment, and he got 5 years for drug possession. And there was obviously jubilant scenes as the judge read this out.
Mm-hmm.
I always find this interesting in this country is that people celebrate shit. Like, we all want to see the guy go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see him taken out of society. But when you hear the verdict, you don't scream like Bafana just scored a goal.
Oh, no one knows what that scream sounds like.
People just want to.
Well, I think everyone's on the child's side, Ben.
Yeah, no, exactly. So there was jubilation, obviously, and Nino's mother and grandmother broke down in tears, which is it's also the other side of the coin, I guess.
Have you ever been remorseful? Like, you'll phone an ex-girlfriend and you want her back, say. So now you are remorseful. You say, I'm sorry I did what I did. I didn't mean to text that girl my stuff or whatever. So now you really want your girlfriend back. And then the fine line between remorse and regret. And for your girlfriend or ex-girlfriend to go, I'm not feeling it, Ben. You need to be more remorseful.
Remorseful.
I feel you're just regretting that you lost me. So that judge
very good
literally
point,
made a point going, I'm not feeling remorse here. I'm feeling a little bit of
regret.
And it was in his testimony. He literally said, I went there, planned it. And the judge said, well, sure. You're out of here, buddy. If you plan to do something that day that wasn't cool against society. And he chose the one thing that society abhors. Like, he chose that. He could have
gone
to
the most sheltered.
Graffiti. I think of 20 things he could have done. That would have been a sign of anger. How old is he? Is he in his 30s?
I don't know.
Whatever.
I've
forgotten. Late 20s. As a joke. And also to say, I remember some guy phoning the cops when his dope was stolen. And he was honestly saying, listen, I don't trust this dealer. He steals my dope all the time. And he tried to get the police to do it. Now, he was within his rights because it's theft.
Yeah.
First crime. But this guy was like, I was high on all kinds of drugs. And then I did the thing like, okay, hang on a minute. Let's do a different case. So he gets the 5 years. I'm not sure what a life sentence is. I mean... He's not going to be alive for long, let's be honest. The guy's going to take himself out.
Well, if he doesn't, then someone might do it for him in prison.
In prison, yeah.
Either way.
So a life sentence is not it's regardless.
No biggie. So
let's talk about something else.
So the NPA...
Biggie. He's on at Park Acoustics next Sunday.
No matter the amount of criticism against the decisions that a prosecutor took in trying to strategize this matter, once we receive results like this, for us it gives us peace of mind.
That's why we cheer.
And that's fine. So justice is served...
Good.
And
was
that's
a
good
five
thing.
Things?
That is five things.
Oh, felt so quick.
We've got the guy that was quite scathing earlier about my life. He says, boys, summer uses more electricity because we have to cool shit down in industry. Yes,
but this is why we ask the question. This is why
ask the question. Yeah. This is why we had to be educated.
To cool things down in industry in terms of like proper industrial working things need to be cooled down.
Fair point. I just think of it like people need to heat themselves up.
Yeah.
But businesses, industry use more electricity than us. As simple as that.
You know, down at the Dave Brew Brewery, Ben.
Forget Eskom's app. They use this at everything. Rather download Eskom's support. Yeah, no, that's the app that I meant. Eskom's app that pretty tells you that you're getting fucked every single day.
What's it called? Eskom's Push.
Yeah.
P-U-S-H.
Okay. Thanks, Ben. That played loud in a fool's...
What was in a full bus?
The voice that I played earlier. played loud in a full shop of customers. Brilliant.
Does that guy work at the PA system at OK Bazaars? He was about to announce a lost kid.
attention shoppers, we have a child here. He's a young, he's wearing green shorts.
get a better job.
Yeah, but it's Friday.
Don't people listen? I mean, as you say, I don't have the time or the effort to listen to Cliff Central, but now they listen to it in earphones like you do.
How do you listen?
I listen in earphones.
I listen in my home or the comfort of my own home. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
you listen live?
Car or home. Some mornings, yeah.
Okay.
Depending on my morning routine.
Do you miss podcast vibe? Okay, this is a show which is live, it goes out, but do you miss that planning? Because you were very good at that. You phoned the interviews, you got the stories, backstories. Do you miss that research, or are you doing it now with your thing?
Dave, I'm just doing it in a very different kind of sense, that's all. But yeah, like, I kind of miss here. Like, last Friday was fun. I do miss the place, and obviously the show means a lot to me, but just thankfully, just too busy.
Dave, your cable's brushing my leg. Stop.
All right, it's time for some sports. Well, Dave brushes Googie's leg. Time for some sport because it is the weekend. It's a very good time for sport. It's a very good time to be a Springbok fan because it's the World Cup. Dave, you watching the World Cup?
Every match.
Every match.
You know I'm a rugby fan. That is amazing. Even though some people don't think so.
So it starts off, and we went through these games yesterday, but just to recap. Saturday, 9:15, in a place called Oita, England versus Australia. Now, England have actually dropped George Ford. So he's in the bench, and Owen No-Arms Farrell is playing number 10. So basically, going for the up front abrasive angle has Eddie Jones. He's got Manu Tuilagi at number 12 and Henry Slade at 13 and some big outside backs from there. So that's going to be a very tight game. The Australians, they've decided to throw in an absolute unknown to the back line called Jordan Patea. So someone on Twitter made a very good point about this yesterday, is that these teams research each other so heavily into these big games. So by Australia throwing a curveball by just having some unknown at 13, they're not entirely sure what to expect. Is that going to make a difference? I don't think so.
Can he tackle Tuilagi? Can he?
I just don't think that the English pack can be dominated.
I don't know.
And with these games, it all starts up front. So I think we'll go with England there by at least 10 points. New Zealand versus Ireland. Now, Ireland, they are, well, they've got a full-strength team outside of Bundy Aki, the New Zealander who tackled a Samoan in the head. So he's out of the tournament.
Is he Irish?
He's Irish, but he's New Zealandish. So Robbie Henshaw's come in for him. The All Blacks have named pretty much their strongest team, as you expect. But does anyone know what their strongest team is? So I'm assuming this is what it is. But they've got Jack Goodhue and Anton Leonard-Brown in the centres. So there is no Ryan Crotty and no Sonny Bill Williams starting.
Just Goodhue's hair is what he gets.
It's horrific. It is absolutely horrific. But that's New Zealand, though. That's what they are. They're like, you know.
Isn't it strange how my sister noticed it? She said that ball bounces for the box. It'll bounce. It'll kind of roll out. For New Zealand, it'll roll in.
Yeah, it's the dark
arts. And then I said to her, but then let's think about the haka. There are spirits on the side of the field if you summon them well enough to actually do that for you. That's the deal.
Never thought of that, Dave, but good point.
So
but
don't ancestors help as well? Can't we summon at least five
or
six
of
Elizabeth's ancestors from the West Coast?
Perhaps. Maybe that's what they're doing. But I just do find these New Zealanders more and more insufferable as we go along. I do it. Initially, I did it just for banter purposes against Kiwis online. But they are
How can you have three brothers as a child? I mean, as a mom with one womb. Three of your children make that team.
I don't know. So Air New Zealand...
Isn't that crazy?
Air New Zealand have come up with this ad, which is just as insufferable as the people themselves, I guess. Air New Zealand, of course, is their national carrier. And they've got safety tips for the Irish fans. So if you're Irish, they think this is how it's going to go down.
You can't have a tattoo if you want to work for the airline, by the way.
This is how they think it's going to go down this weekend.
Kia ora, and welcome aboard this quarterfinal between New Zealand and Ireland.
Having won two out of the last three games, some Irish supporters may be expecting a pleasant journey.
However, we happen to think you might be in for some upcoming turbulence.
Ooh. During the haka, fasten your seatbelts tight, so you don't flee for the exit too early.
Before kick-off, stow all handheld electronic devices in your pockets, as they may be dislodged and fly into the screen in front of you.
Stow away, young children, on the off chance that language may become a little colourful.
In the event of an early New Zealand try, lean forward into the crouch position with your head in your hands.
Nice.
Should those tries repeat, make your way to your nearest exit.
Here, here, and here.
Stow away, children.
Should the game go down to the wire, an oxygen mask will automatically drop down. Otherwise, please remain seated until your disappointment has come to a complete halt.
Thank you for choosing to fly in New Zealand.
To all our Shamrock-loving friends, we look forward to seeing you again soon. In four more years.
Eat a bunch of dicks, you Kiwis.
It's so horrible.
I hate those guys. Good ad, because it's like cheeky and stuff. Good on you for
but it
that.
Wouldn't be, is it an ad, or has someone just recorded the announcement for the thing? So it's got full visuals and the whole thing.
No, it's the New Zealand ad. Yeah. Air New Zealand ad. So, Ireland, please do the world a favour.
Please.
And just shut
those
dick bags up. It would be so great if you could.
Sexton, is he playing?
He is playing. Johnny
Sexton
playing.
So can't he just hit five drop goals in the first 10 minutes?
Dave, we can only hope. We can only hope. So then on to Sunday, Wales versus France, also in Oita at 9:15. Welsh are going to be too strong for them. They haven't released their teams just yet. And Japan versus SA. SA have released their team. And the Russie's gone with his famed 6-2 split on the bench. Now, it's the first team that you would expect on 1-15, but then we've got Malcolm Marx, Stephen Ketzel, Vincent Koch, Arjas Neyman, Franco Mostert. So an entire tight five is on the bench. Then there's Francois Lowe, and just the two backs. So before
has he got Francois Steyn on the back?
That's where I'm going today. If you let me just keep talking for a bit more seconds, you'll see everything.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Herschel Jahnkes and Francois Stein are the only two backs on the bench. So if you have any doubt to what the game plan is tomorrow, they're going to keep it tight and they're going to kick. Rusty knows this is how you win World Cups. So if you want to have ball going left to right, left to right, left to right, look at the bench. He's picked six forwards and two backline players. The ball is going to get kicked and kicked and kicked until the pressure in it is weakened. And Frans Steen, obviously he's got massive faith in the dude's fitness. He can cover everything out there. And there's no backup fly half, so all hope is on André Pollard. And if not, then Frans Steen's got to play 10, always got to play centre, always got to play fullback, whatever it may be. This team, of course, again, like, people want certain places filled with other people, but Rossi, I think, knows what he's doing. But I think the 6-2 split can maybe temper your expectations in this one. They're going to kick Japan to death.
And are you a Frans Steen fan?
And maul them. Dave, I have no reason to not be a Frans Steen fan. I just think I don't know. I don't have a reason to not like him.
You see the linesman overtake him?
But he does. He lacks pace. That's my only thing with him.
If you watch the clip, the linesman's running next to him, and he's like, come on, stay.
That's my only thing. He lacks pace. But then again, Butch James in the 2007 World Cup, when he was off fly-off, I don't think his knees actually really moved, but he dictated the game perfectly well. And sometimes we've got pace elsewhere, and because these teams are so well-structured, he won't be found out for his pace. But if he's going to come on as fullback, which I don't think will happen, one of the wings will move there. Anyway, Rossi, I think, knows what he's doing. So all faith in Rossi. If you don't really care about the rugby, and of course some people are out there who don't care about the rugby, English Premier League is there for you. Like, with open arms, it'll pull you in and make you feel the warm, tender touch of the beautiful game, which is seldom beautiful, but it is a game that everyone loves. Kind of the world over. It's the biggest sport. Now, Liverpool are a staggering 8 points clear of Man City after 8 games. They've played weight. They've won 8. They've got a goal difference of 14. Man City are back in second place. Arsenal are third. Leicester are fourth. Chelsea are fifth. Crystal Palace sixth. Spurs down at 9th. Man United down at 12th. Although that's not really unexpected nowadays. So these are big fixtures. These are big fixtures for the weekend. Starts off with Everton taking on West Ham at 1:30. All these times, SA times. Spurs at 4 against Watford. Chelsea will take on Newcastle at 4 as well. And then down the line from there, the big game on Sunday. Man United versus Liverpool at 5:30. Now, I know you would look at Liverpool, a high-flying team, and Man United, a sort of degrading minnow, and think, well, Liverpool obviously going to thrash them. Sure, but they haven't had a great record at Old Trafford. I don't think they've won there in maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. So there could be something slot on that match. Whether Man United have any bottle left, I don't think so. But anyway, Liverpool looking to make it 9 out of 9, and you can catch all of that this weekend. There's also a whole bunch of interesting golf on this weekend. There is the 2 Bridges CT Open Cup, 9 Bridges in Korea. Justin Thomas is currently leading there over Binyong Han. And then on the European Tour is the Open de France, played at the wonderful Le Golf National Paris, where they had the Ryder Cup. Now, George Kutsia from SA, he heads it up there at -6, along with Ryan Fox. And on the... And that's pretty much it. Sorry, I didn't want to tell you, though, is that golf had some rule changes last year. Necessary, I guess. A couple of things are quite quirky. One of them was that your caddy and professional player can't stand behind you to help you line up the putt. It's a standard rule, but there's been some very controversial sort of executions of penalties on top of that. So Leanne Walker, now she hasn't played on the senior LPGA tour for quite some time. So she came back, and she didn't really know about the new rules.
Sounds like me on this show.
Yes, Dave, actually spot on. So her playing partners, I've got to be the biggest dickbags. I mean, this is the thing. Women often hate women. Huh? Talk about women not getting ahead, because women just fucking hate each other. So you get a 2-stroke penalty, essentially, every time you line up a putt. So if
you can line up your own putt, surely, if your caddy's in front of you.
But if your caddy is behind you, verifying...
In front of you, going like, with their eyes going like this.
Verifying what's happening. If your caddy's behind you, looking at the hole, it's a 2-stroke penalty. Leanne Walker finished her first 2 rounds with 58 penalty shots.
So she's essentially not making a cut.
No, but think about this. So 58 penalty shots. Her playing partners at no stage said, oh, you can't do that. They waited until she finished the 2 rounds. Absolute bitches. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, yeah. So she's been like lining up putts since like the 4th hole yesterday.
Bitches.
It's going to be one of the biggest dick moves in all of sport.
And not even a person in the gallery. I don't know. Maybe there isn't a lot of gallery at a seniors female LPGA tour. But surely someone in the gallery would have said, hey, man, new rule. Is it only pro rule? Is it amateurs as well?
Well, anything competitive play, and I let it happen. So she ended up on 217 strokes for her two rounds. So needs to say, she didn't make the cut.
And some sort of record as well.
God, what a bunch of bitches. A bunch of bitches. The third and final test, which is a dead rubber, although the proteas will tell you it's not a dead rubber, against the SA vs India test series, will take place from Saturday. Proteas, big blow. Well, I say big blow, but I mean, it hasn't done much. Oh. Eden Markram was so pissed off after getting dismissed in the second innings of the last test that he punched what has been referred to as a hard surface. Let's just say he punched a wall. He went full Mitchell Marsh, and he's now fractured his wrist in the same week that Mitchell Marsh punched a wall and fractured his wrist. So if you get upset,
umpire,
don't punch a wall. Walls are bigger than you. You'll not be able to move a wall. Your wrist will buckle. You can't play cricket. So that is just...
It's like people insult. Don't put sunblock on. It's like they're going to beat the sun.
It's insult to injury, or just injury to insult. I don't know what you want to say this, but Eden Markram has had a horrible October and September. Now he's come home with his hand in a cast and he can't play cricket. Oh, this isn't going to help. Yesterday we spoke about how these guys are getting bid for in the 100 in England. This guy just punched a wall and his arm doesn't work, so I don't think he's going to get any of that 100 money. And that's your sport for the weekend. So a quick look at the messages. It's her responsibility to learn the rules. Yes, I know that. Completely true. But she's a bit of an old duck. She's been away and now she's come back. Do you think her playing partners went 2 days without telling her? That's a bit dick, though. You gotta be honest with that. From QNAM, Ben, you just want Dumini in for your quota credentials. Be honest. When did I mention Dumini?
He's got the best wrists in the game.
When did I mention Dumini? Ben, has New Zealand ever won a match without cheating? Carl, I don't know. Good question. Don't have the answer for you.
It's only cheating if you get caught.
Ben, this new guy talks too much. Telling me.
Who's the new guy?
Telling me. So Leanne is not dead. Which is, there we go.
First have you heard from her?
She sent me a message. She is
sorry,
alive.
I just woke up, guys.
She says load shedding equals phone didn't charge. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, do you use your phone to get to work? I don't know.
So her alarm. But Leanne, that's not really adult enough, is it? I don't think that's good enough for the stage of the game.
Have you ever plugged your phone into the side of the cover and thought that you've done a full plug-in?
Is that a clock you were wearing over there, Dave?
If you're a comedian and you don't have a big watch, you go on for too long.
Good one.
So that is the first hour. That is the first hour done and dusted. We've got the five things you need to know. We've gone through and your weekend sport. Leanne will be joining us, I think. I don't know. She just said just woke up, so sorry. I didn't think she's coming with. But it is Friday, so you're welcome to keep engaging with us on 079-748-2090. Got a whole bunch of interesting stories in the second hour. And, of course, George Meany on the Power Pod. He'll be talking about all the latest things in motoring.
Yeah.
You say something?
Huh?
Yeah.
I was saying, away, George.
Yeah.
Shout out to George.
George, yeah. Very good. So we have a little musical interlude, and we'll come back straight after that. Google's going to get cracking on the podcast. Don't give him shit about that. He does work hard. I see it happening every single day.
Thanks, man. CliffCentral.com.